And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick the Moose Batson. I'm Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Monday the 26th of January. We're here 10 a.m. covering markets and sport live from the heart of London. St. Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. Okay, so let's move on to Nicole Elliott, part of the Investors Chronicle. Just thought the US National Weather Service has warned residents of the eastern seaboard from Philadelphia to Maine to brace massive blizzards today. Airlines have already cancelled hundreds of flights as they're up to 3 feet of snow expected. I was just thinking this time last year we had dreadful weather in the States and it really affected the non-farm payroll numbers and all the macro data. The weather's been pretty good so far, hasn't it? In terms of the UK, yeah, there was no frost this morning and...
No, that's right. I think the States had a fairly difficult time in sort of late November, early December as well in terms of its weather. We've been fairly lucky so far, which of course is famous last
year.
But the other thing is a lot of the states, especially the big cities, are rather more prepared for bad weather than we tend
Unlike
to be.
Unlike us. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to the next slide. Alexis the Greek wins comfortably. The headline being, okay, that yeah, the markets went lower, or they were marked down, and then we sort of rallied and we're back flat now. But it was quite interesting. I picked up... Bill Blaine's morning porridge, and he said, but no surprise, the headlines contain lots of words like collusion, looming, imminent, crisis. Okay. If Greece wasn't in the Eurozone, we wouldn't care, would we? I say that gently, but...
It's a question of the bonds they've got outstanding or the debts they've got outstanding at the moment. Although, again, it appears as though European banks, as on the whole, have got much less of an exposure to Greece than they used to have, presumably following the financial crisis.
Well, if we just move on to the next slide on that, sorry to interrupt you.
That's right.
Basically, that's who owns the Greek debt, the Eurozone, 60%.
Yep, 3% Greek banks.
Yeah, which is says it all, really. So following a series of bailouts and a debt restructuring, a large majority of Greek debt is held by public institutions. This means that any renegotiation will be a very political exercise and will require approval and concessions from Eurozone partners. Seals, Greek Finance Ministry, Bank of Greece, ECB and Open Euro, courtesy of Justin Hugg at Hobart Capital. But the point being that invariably these situations, we build ourselves into a frenzy, and then the reality is that, you know, it doesn't quite work out as everybody anticipates. Now, you know, we've got a left-wing government is going to be formed, OK, and obviously, you know, it's a difficult situation for the man on the street. But, you know, I'm sure that out of this, OK, it's not the end of the world, is it?
No, there's still a number of things that could happen. There could even be a re-election. And even if there isn't, they've got 149 seats. They need 151 for an absolute majority. So there's got to be some sort of mini coalition going on there. But, of course, the fun then starts when the conversations begin with the debtors and how this debt can be restructured. In terms of the initial words we were hearing from the party that's now got in, there was a lot of grandstanding in the last few weeks about the fact that, you know, maybe they wouldn't honour their debts, maybe there'd be a Grexit and so on and so forth. And that's going to play out because the politics, even though there was some celebration on the streets last night, the politics are now going to come to the fore, as it says there. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact there's a couple of other European countries, such as Spain, for example, with elections looming, who are keeping a close eye on whether there is a groundswell of you know, the need for change, given the fact that these companies are ones whose economies have been struggling for so long.
Right. But you're an investor, you're a long-term investor. For you, in terms of the macro picture, I assume you just see this as a blip, OK, in a continuation of an underlying trend. And it looks to me as if, you know, the FTSE's again testing the top of the trading range. And the people now calling it this time it's going to break to the upside.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, obviously, as a knee-jerk reaction, as you would half expect, commodities and oils were weak on the back of the Greek. That's obviously taken up a big slug of the FTSE first thing in terms of mining stocks and oil stocks. The whole commodity picture and demand from the emerging markets is rather more important than this particular knee-jerk news. But again, if you're taking a bottom-up approach, it's not too difficult to avoid those companies who might be embroiled in this particular conversation over the next couple of weeks. And there's plenty to choose from who, for example, might do the majority of their business in the States.
Right.